The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone, on this Thursday evening in Bloomington, Indiana. I'm actually in the studios around 1:30 today, recording in anticipation of a winter storm this evening. But then we'll be home and wrapping gifts tonight, maybe doing some fun activities with the family, and then here comes Christmas weekend, right? So you have Christmas Eve at my house, at least. We'll do my dad's house on Christmas Eve. We'll attend our church service as well. And then Christmas morning, just the three of us at our house, assuming we have nobody staying over, which I hope not. You wouldn't think so on Christmas Eve. But when you have a 21-year-old or 22-year-old living at home, you never know what you're going to wake up to in your basement. So we'll see how that goes. But anyway, then we'll get to Christmas afternoon, and my wife's family will migrate from the south up to Bloomington, and we're going to have a great day. And then everyone's off on Monday, I guess. And then the Colts game on Monday evening, that's going to be a Monday nighter. Can I get the misery over with sooner than later, with just three games remaining? I'm sure you'll hear a lot about that after the new year, because I guess Glass is off after today on Thursday, so you would have listened to him and then me, and then off you go. Next week, I will be in studio. I know that the afternoon show will not be going on, but I will be here next week as my dad. Jerry will be my guest. He was my guest last year. He has been my guest several times on the very last show of the year, and it's just kind of a feel-good show. Last year, it was on When Do You Know You're Ready to Retire? My dad was 74. He's now 75. He's still working, by the way. And still very relevant and enjoys what he does. So be anxious to catch up with the old man at the end of the year and give everyone a little bit of inspiration heading into 2023. So I'm very excited about the new year. We have some new employees at our office that, we're bringing along. We have a lot of other great things going on as well. So very excited about that. And I think everyone's ready for this break. It was today, Thursday. It was kind of funny. Our office was pretty much a skeleton crew. A lot of folks off for the holidays. Phone was not ringing much. Stock market was down a bunch. I was back with Rod. He's going to join us in just a few minutes because literally like yesterday, the market was up. Why? Well, stocks rallied on consumer spirits. It lifted its spirits since consumer sentiment boosted stocks on Wednesday, right? Like 500 or 600 points, something like that. And then boom, you turn around today. When I left to record, the Dow was down 700. So we're going to talk about that with Rod when we come back. So let's take a quick break, and we'll carry on the big show here with Your Money with David Hayes. Forgot to give the old shout-out to our sponsors of the news of the week, of course, brought to you by Dirk Bland and Kenny Bland Auctions. Visit them online at kennyblandauctions.com. He just sent me a picture of I believe it was a Steve Kinzer vintage clock, which was kind of cool. Also, thanks to Lance Like and the Like Law Group, which we're going to talk a little bit about this today on the show. Give yourself and your family that peace of mind in 2023 that comes with proper estate planning. Call my friend Lance at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. And finally, Unrivaled Electric. They want to be your electrician like they are mine. They specialize in Generac generators, which hopefully mine won't get used. It's always great when the weather's terrible and the power goes out and my lights still stay on, my refrigerator still works, my heat still works, everything still works. But if you don't have a generator, I'd say it's a little bit too late to get one for my friend Tim at Unrivaled Electric. But if you go through a bad experience over the next couple of days, you may rethink that idea of having one in the future. They're veteran-owned, Unrivaled Electric. Give them a call, 812-361-3604. Find them on Facebook, and they're easy to find. If you just get a hold of me, I can tell you how to get a hold of them. We have Rod Holloway on the phone. And, Rod, just kind of a quick review of last week. We had the, of course, hawkish comments by the Fed, some weak economic data that kind of heightened the recession concerns, sent stocks lower last week. Then as we think about, well, let's kind of stay on that for a second. Stocks began the week on a positive note, supported by a cooler-than-expected CPI report. Stocks kind of reversed midweek following the Fed open market committee meeting, which they did exactly what they said they were going to do, raise rates by half a point. And then the Fed chairman spoke, and at the post-conference meeting, he said what everyone's been hearing him say, and it added to the anxiety, potential higher rates for longer, along with some disappointing economic data, sharp decline in retail sales, all of that amplified the fears of recession. That sent the stocks lower for the remainder of the week. Now, here we start off this week, and we see a rally. Boom, boom. And it's like, what's going on? Well, consumers evidently are still feeling pretty good and spending money. We had a couple of earnings reports come out that were pretty solid. And then all of a sudden, Rod, today, when I left the office to record for tonight's show on Thursday, to be replayed on Saturday morning at 9, the market was crashing. I shouldn't say crashing. It was down about 700 points, kind of giving it all back. So give us a little walkthrough of the current situation we find ourselves in. And then I want to take some time and review 2022, you know, how we started off. I mean, we've been through so much. We've been through crazy rate increases we've never seen before, at least in our careers. We've seen a market that was doing fine, then terrible, and then hopeful, and then bad again. And, you know, so let's kind of just kick it around a little bit, Hot Rod.
Yeah, sure. So as you just alluded to, you know, last week you had a lower than expected CPI number. So that kind of used the market there for a little bit until then the Fed came out and spoke and did what everyone anticipated they would do, 50 basis point increase. Said the same thing that they have consistently been saying both at meetings and at their speaking engagements in between the meetings, which is basically, we've still got a ways to go. That yes, inflation is coming down, and we have had consecutive monthly CPI reports coming in a little bit lower than the previous month. So that's all trending in the right direction. But when you start at an inflation north of 9%, just ticking a little bit off every single month leaves you a long ways from where you need to be. So we've still got a lot of work to do. And that's basically what the Fed said. For whatever reason, the market decided, oh, gosh, the Fed's serious this time, even though the message has been very consistent throughout the year. And even historically, when you look back, and that's part of one of the things I've tried to point on Glass's show, we have always fought inflation in the past. And there's not a lot of people who remember fighting inflation because it's been a long time since we've seen it. So there's not a lot that recall this, but we have always fought it by having a federal funds rate higher than the inflation rate. Well, there's still a big gap between those two. So we've still got some work to do. Now, which side is going to move the quickest? Hey, we don't know moving forward. We know for this year, the Fed has been the aggressor and moving much faster than what inflation has been coming down. We can always hope that the inflation decreases start to accelerate and we can see drops coming quicker within that. Part of the problem is the sectors that are most impacted by what the Fed does most certainly already feeling the effects of what the Fed has done. Big part of that's housing, automobiles. Mm-hmm. So we know used cars have come down. We know building material prices have come down. We know that we're not seeing as strong of new home contracts and home purchases. Most certainly aren't seeing refinancing. Not that that's a GDP grower in refinancing, but if customers can refinance and put extra dollars in their pocket, that puts more cash flow into the consumer, and we know the consumer consumes when they have more dollars to consume, so that can potentially lead to some added growth. But the things that are crimping the consumer are the things that they can't avoid or pick and choose whether or not they're going to buy. That's food. That's energy, both gasoline within the car and also electricity within the home. Those are the things that we're not seeing come down yet, so the consumer still has less extra cash flow than what he did a year ago, even though inflation is coming down. Now, the consumer has held up very well, and I think that's been part of the reason that the market has continued to think that potentially a soft landing is in the cards, because the job market has stayed strong and steady through this, and the consumer has stayed strong and steady through this. But we do question, is it real strength, or is it strength on the back of debt, which eventually poses a problem, because you've got the double whammy. If we eventually start seeing layoffs and people lose their jobs, they have less money to pay that debt. In addition, as interest rates go up, guess what? That debt costs more, because the typical easiest place that people can access debt is usually variable interest rates, meaning that when the Fed rates go up, the rates on that debt goes up, be it a line of credit, be it a credit card, whatever it is. So we may look very good today, but we may find out that we're not quite as strong in the jobs market and the consumer at some point in the future. And that's usually where rubber meets the road when it comes to the Fed and overdoing it. By the time the data tells us that there's been too much demand destruction, the demand destruction has already happened.
Yeah, and the year-over-year number came in at around 7.1%, and that means the Fed is going to keep on going. So we're hoping that they meet in the middle somewhere. If they get to that 4.5%, 5% range and inflation continues to trend down, that's where the sweet spot is. So you mentioned home sales. Yep, 10th month in a row we've seen home sales fall in the U.S. Not a big surprise there. Today on Thursday, as we record this show, I'm not sure the numbers are out yet, but jobless claims, GDP, any word on that as of right now at 2 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon record?
Yeah, the GDP did come in revised slightly higher than the previous. I think the previous was 2.9, and this one came in a little over 3, I think was the number. It did come up a little bit. Jobless claims did increase a little bit. That's what's kind of odd, that the jobless claims number, when it came out, the market seemed to accelerate its selling. And actually, those are some of the things that you should want to see. Not that we want people out of work, but the reality is that's the only way the Fed can really effectively begin to fight the inflation of some of the areas that aren't interest rate sensitive, and that's for the consumer to have less dollar in their pocket. Now, we know that that leads to other potential negatives on down the road, which is where the fear of recession comes in, that if we overdo it and too many people lose their jobs, then all of a sudden growth comes to a screeching halt and we no longer have growth to help try and grow out of the situation that we are in right now. But that's what's been amazing, is how resilient the consumer has stayed through all of this, and especially when you look back going all the way to 2020 and the pandemic and where we're at today. The consumer has held up very well through some very trying times here in the last few years.
Yes, you had consumer confidence on Wednesday, consumer sentiment on Friday. What's the difference between those two? I haven't ever really thought too much about that.
You know, I think really it's probably more in the label and who is constructing the data and what they chose to call it. I don't know that there is a major difference as far as what it's trying to relay in the information.
Yeah.
I think both of them give us an idea of how the consumer feels about the future. And actually, the consumer confidence came in very strong. So once again, the consumer still feels good about things. But I think a big part of that is also, while we have heard a lot of layoffs announced, I don't know that we've seen a lot of pink slips actually handed out yet. And that may not come until after the holidays. Once again, nobody likes to lay somebody off right before the holidays. Most business owners, CEOs, they're compassionate about the holidays. They know and understand what's going on right now. Secondarily, they had a really hard time filling many of these jobs, and they're very reluctant to let people go early for fear that they won't be available when the demand comes back and they need to rehire people. So I think they're a little bit slower in handing out the pink slips. But if things don't begin to pick up in the new year, I don't think they're going to have any choice but to follow through with the announced layoffs that multiple companies have come out and announced. As I said, they just haven't actually handed out the pink slip and sent people home yet.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Rod, I want you to talk about the forecast. Again, we're not predictors, but we just want to kind of give you an idea of what maybe you should prepare for mentally as we head into the new year with your 401ks, your IRAs, all the things that I know people are concerned about. Let's talk about 2023. When we come back, this is Your Money with David Hayes. Well, we pretty much have 2022 in the books. Of course, we still have next week. And I'll be here in studio with my father, Jerry Hayes. He's going to be my guest, as he has been traditionally on the very last show of the year. But right now, we have Rod Holloway, and this is probably the last time you'll hear his voice in the 2022 era, as Glass will be off next week. So, Rod, let's look forward into 2023. I know as all of these things start to take grip, I know you and I are both in the same camp that 2023 could get, you know, uglier before it gets better.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly where we're at right now. I think both fundamentally and just the realization that the market is starting to accept that the Fed's not been misleading us. They have told us what they're going to do. They have said what they're going to continue to do. And for some reason, maybe the market has finally said, oh, okay, you know what? The Fed said they're going to keep raising rates until they conquer inflation. I guess maybe that's what the Fed's going to do. We've also done a lot of technical damage. Now, this week, we had that little rally you talked about the first part of the week. The S&P 500 did close back above its 50-day moving average. I thought maybe that could help give us a little bit of juice here for a Santa Claus rally, which technically would begin Friday of this week, run through next week, and then the first two trading days into the new year is what's the official Santa Claus rally. I won't say it's completely off the table, but the more technical damage that gets done, the harder it's going to be to rally in the short term, because we know that a lot of the senior traders are already starting to leave the office and take their extended vacations over the holiday season. So if you don't have good technical support that says, okay, hey, we can take this rally for another week and a half or so, maybe we don't get much. Then you flip the calendar and you get in, the Santa Claus rally is done and over, whether it does or does not happen, that's put behind us. Then you start looking both fundamentally and technically. And unfortunately, right now, the setup doesn't look good for either one of those. So fundamentally, we've talked a lot about this. Currently, based on Wednesday's close, the S&P 500 forward-looking price-to-earnings multiple, 16.65. Mm-hmm. The five-year average, 18.78. So that's good that you're running below the five-year average. You need to, because over the last 5 years, we had zero interest rates with almost no inflation. That's completely different. So you're not going to pay the same earnings multiple for growth in the future as what you did over the last 5 years. The 15-year average is about 15.75. So we probably need to see it move closer to that, maybe even a tad under, to get a new starting point fundamentally. Because the other problem with the fundamentals right now that we know is, as earnings have come out, the current quarter earnings haven't been bad. It's the guidance for the future that is concerning, and most of the companies have continued to push earnings and revenue guidance for the future down, which means, hey, that price-to-earnings multiple I just gave you technically actually is higher than what is stated right there. We think that the first half of the year will be fairly rocky and look like this. We do believe that the market can begin to get constructive on hopefully seeing a return to earnings and revenue growth in the latter half of the year, and hopefully the market will begin moving accordingly. We know the market always moves ahead of time and will begin to move before the data actually reflects what the market anticipates. That's where we hope the latter half we can begin to see that and have a constructive year in the market next year. But as we keep saying, even though we have talked short term that there are some negatives and lots of headwinds, these problems will get resolved. And in the long term, the equity market will return to a growth phase and will start trending up again. But predicting exactly when is the most difficult part of that equation.
Yeah, so folks, as you head into the new year, I mean, if you can, maybe front-load your 401k contributions. You don't have to put those in throughout the entire year. You could say, hey, I want to put 100% of my paycheck in. You can do that if your situation allows, and literally put all of your contributions in the first couple, 3 months of the year. That may be a way to take advantage of the situation. Because I'm like Rod, I think we're going to get off to probably a rocky start with a lot of real economic data we'll be filtering in the first, you know, quarter, second quarter. But, you know, once it's kind of settled in, I always say things typically get worse when you think they can't get any worse before they get better. The market will take off in anticipation of better times ahead. But remember, the market moves in anticipation of what's going to happen. And that's what the way it does on the downside, the way it works on the upside as well. So, Rod, thanks as always for a great 2022. Looking extremely forward and excited about 2023. What do you guys have planned for the holidays and the new year?
You know, pretty low key, especially given the forecast that is coming. I know my parents called today and said, "Hey, we're not even going to wait to see what happens with the weather. We're just going to go ahead and hunker down in our house, try and stay warm." And I told them I thought that was a great idea, even if we didn't get the snow and ice, no reason to venture out in single digits and risk getting stranded somewhere. So we're going to do the same thing at our house. We're going to hunker down, just have an immediate family get together, which is always fun and enjoyable. Looking forward to the new year and flipping the calendar and hoping to get things changed directionally from a market perspective. Well, like we said, we don't anticipate it happening right from the get-go. And remember, you don't have to time it perfect. If this is long-term money, which is what equity should be, just be consistent with what you're doing and continue to plug away and know that at some point in time when you need these dollars far off down into the future, they should be worth more then than what they are today.
The one and the only Hot Rod Holloway, who's a major contributor not just to Your Money with David Hayes, but Glass in the Afternoons on Mondays and Big Show Friday. No Big Show Friday tomorrow, Hot Rod, so you get to relax that voice and get it ready for the new year. Have a great one, my friend.
You bet. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all, Dave.
All right,
man.
Have
a great show.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, my podcast this week was on estate planning, and you're like, estate planning? That's like, you know, watching paint dry. No, it's not. It was great. I'm going to encourage you to listen to that, but I'll give you a little highlight. And then I'm going to go back and talk a little bit about losses, right? Yeah, we have some losses. Don't ever let a loss go to waste. You still have time, right? This is Your Money with David Hayes. I wish we could come up with a better word than estate planning, right? That seems so distinguished, right? And it's kind of like, yeah, I don't know about that. Estate planning, I don't need to do that. Well, I need to come up with a better word and coin it and phrase it and use it, because just like budgeting, I hate the word budget because budget seems so restrictive. I like a spending plan. Like, how do I want to spend my money, right? I like the choice. So anyway, we have estate planning, so we're just going to leave it at that for now. Now, what does that mean? It means, where do I want my things to go? In what way I want them to go? Like, do I want them all go at once, over time? What charities do I have in mind? All of that. That's the estate plan. How do I do it in the most tax-efficient manner? What assets do I leave to my charities? Which assets do I leave to people, right? Those are decisions that have to be made. That's all in estate planning. But estate planning is not about when you die necessarily, but it's about when you live. Some of the most important documents are the living documents. Power of attorney. Who's going to take care of things for me financially if I can't or don't want to? Do I make it a springing power of attorney or just a general durable power of attorney with no springing function, which means he can do it for me? I don't have to have a doctor approve anything, and that's my preferred method. What about a living will? You know, if I'm not going to be around, are you going to keep me alive by artificial means with nutrition and hydration, or do you want the healthcare representative to decide, which is another living document? If you think about it, a will, a trust, right? You have a living will, a power of attorney. I mean, those are all things that everyone needs. But I will really focus this week, because the podcast is around taxes, is really about on the death side of things. In my career alone, when I first started in 1994, the federal estate tax limit, meaning anything over this would be taxed at nearly 50%, was $600,000. It went to $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, $10 million, went away, back down to $5 million, back to $10 million, right? Oh, now it's over like $11 or $12 million. And in 2026, right, when everything sunsets, it goes back to where it was before, back at $5 million plus the inflation. So I'm thinking, okay, well, a lot of people might be listening like, oh, I don't really need to worry about that. I don't have a $5 million estate or $10 million estate, but you might have a $1 million estate, right? What if it goes back to a million? I have no idea where this is going to go. Remember, guys, we're $31 trillion in debt, adding $1 trillion deficits a year. Heck, they're trying to cram through a $1.7 trillion package right now. Isn't that nuts? And you sit there and think, where's all this money going to come from? It's going to come from you. I talk about the billionaires, how they have all this advanced strategies on how to shift money around through these different trusts and borrowing here and giving a note there and all that. They're never going to get it from those guys. They're going to get it from all of us through our retirement accounts and through our estates. When you die, they're going to want their share of it. So I'm like, well, what's in your estate? What's included in your estate? I think you'll be surprised. You know, we focus on income planning, right, all the time. So we're like, move it to a Roth. It's not subject to this, not subject to that. You don't have to take money out if you don't want to. You can leave it to an heir, and they can leave it every 10 years. I mean, I did a whole podcast on multi-generational wealth within a Roth, how you turn a few hundred thousand and millions of dollars tax-free for your family. But what's included in your estate? Everything. What is everything? It's your cars. It's your house. It's your bank accounts. It's all of your retirement accounts, Roth or non-Roth. But what gets crazy is when you start thinking about your life insurance, not just your cash value, but your death benefits included in your estate. Many of you have $1, $2, $3, $4, $5 million of death benefit. I see it either through your work or you own it on your own. And then you throw on top of that your retirement accounts, you throw on top of that your house, you throw on top of that, you know, whatever else you might get, or future inheritance. You got to think about the long-term planning here. I literally sit in front of people nearly every day and project what will their estate look like. And that's one of the questions we ask. What about inheritance? You know what? My mom's got about $1 million sitting here. How many of them are you? There's three of us. Okay. How old's your mom? She's 80. Well, what if she lives to 90? She might have $6 million. Now you've got $2 million heading your way on top of the three you've got. I mean, boom, 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 boom. You see the math here. So all of a sudden, everybody is pretty much subject to a potential federal estate tax. So anything over the limit is going to be taxed, who knows what rate. You know, right now it's around 45%, but it could be much, much more than that. And on top of that, if you don't do income tax planning with your IRAs, your IRA is subject to federal income tax too. So you have this double whammy. So here is my advice to you. Remember, yeah, you may not have a $12 million estate today. You may not have a $24 million estate if you're married because you both have that exemption. But you know when it all gets cut in half, and then when they start realizing, hey, the easiest way to get money is not just these retirement accounts, but the estate also, we may all be subject to this. So here is the thing you need to do. Do some serious estate planning. Now, here's the cool thing. Right now, even though we all have about $12 million that we can die with and be fine, you also can give away $12 million and not have any kind of a issue. And the IRS came out this past year and said, you know what, if you do some of this estate planning now and you shift over assets into trust and you have these notes that you can swap back and forth and this, I mean, it's crazy the estate planning that can be done to protect it, they will not claw back. What does that mean? They're not going to come back and say, yeah, you did that back when the estate tax limit and gift tax was $12 million, but now it's $3 million. So we're going to claw back. No, they said, no, we're not going to. Well, listen, folks, it is 2023 as of a week from now. That means we have 2023, 2024, and 2025 before we know at least it comes back to where it was before. Do not wait until 2025. And this was my message during the podcast, if you had a chance to listen to it. If not, take a listen. 2025, the final drive, what you need to know to win. I love that saying, what you need to know to win, right? And I go through this in detail. But everyone's going to be too busy to help you. So personally, me, I just met with my attorney, actually over a very casual breakfast, and I was asking him, are you up to speed on all of these different slats, cruts. I mean, going through all these terms that, you know, you're like, what are you talking about? So he and I are having, and he's like, yes, I am. And I go, I was confident you were, but I wanted to make sure that I didn't have to hire this high-powered attorney out of, you know, Colorado, which gave a speech at the event I was attending, which really got me fired up on this topic. I said, I'm going to do it myself in 2021. I need to get, you know, lay it out. Let's do whatever I need to do. I'm 52, going to be 53. It's time, right? Well, And he said, you're right. He said, if you wait until 2025 and you're like, hey, I need to get some of this stuff done now because the rule's going to change here in the next 9 months, good luck finding anyone to help you because we're going to all be way, way too busy. And at the time to act is now. And that's why when I do my little intro for the podcast, I talk about 2025, the final drive, right? It's a metaphor on my football coaching and playing days. Time is ticking. Time is running out. The time to go is now. I say it every podcast. The 2017, I can't believe we're already at 2023, tax cuts are set to expire at the end of 2025, giving us a real opportunity to act now and save ourselves from taxes destroying our retirement accounts before they go up for good. Because this was focused around retirement accounts, but it really is just taxes destroying your financial family's life before they go up for good. And with trillions of dollars in debt, interest rates going up, it's going to make the debt service insurmountable, right, in America. They've got to figure this thing out. And what is the low-hanging fruit? It's our retirement accounts. That's simple. And also our estates, right? But you can do some planning to put things. You can move your business into a trust. You can do almost anything. And then people are like, well, but what if I need it? No problem. They have all kinds of techniques that you can swap out assets, right? A promissory note for this asset if I want to do something different. I'm just telling you right now, if you want a recommendation on some of the best estate planning attorneys in this town, please, they're in this town. That's the blessing of being in Bloomington and the curse. Lots of attorneys. Great place to live, great law school. A lot of people stay here, are willing to make less to have a different quality of life than going to Chicago or some other city. And they're here, and I know them all. So if you need a recommendation or just want to chat about what's happening in your world, we are the sounding board for you. I was counting up the number of advisors, licensed people we had in my office. It's 7. They're not going to know all the answers to every question that's out there estate tax-wise, but that's why we have professionals that do this all the time. I said in my book that, you know, don't try to do this stuff on your own. Don't go online to whatever it is, .com, and get your estate plan done. It might be okay if you're my son's age, right? But no, if you have anything at all in your world, and don't think of where you are today. Think of where you potentially could be at 92, 95. What about inheritance? What about this? What about that? Because it takes real projections to see where you're likely to be in the future. And it allows you to do some things today to get out of the crosshairs of these higher taxes that are coming. All right? It's not even Sunday and I'm preaching to you. All right, let's take a quick break. I'll be right back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. I was looking at my next segment, and really, I kind of got cracked up when I did my program on guaranteed lifetime income in retirement. But because I was just sort of re-looking at that before today's program, and I thought, you know what? Since I did the program last week, I've actually been in front of 4 people that have guaranteed lifetime income, not just Social Security, that's great, but some other form of guaranteed income. And I talked to him about that. I'm like, hey, let me ask you a question. How concerned are you about the stock market right now? And every single one of them said, not really. And I came back with the answer of why. Yeah, it always comes back. Yeah, that's a pretty standard answer. But why? But why are you not concerned? Not just because it always comes back. And every one of them said, you know, because I really don't need it right now. I'm living fine on my Social Security and what I'm getting from. But they were, I mean, from different ones, right? I had a retired person from Lilly. I had a retired military guy. I had a retiree from Otis Elevator, now, you know, UTC. And the last person, I think, may have been a fireman. Yeah, those are, and I'm like, and I was just like, and are you guys happy? And they're like, we're very happy. And I'm just like, well, how do you figure in that happy factor, right? And I'm just like, this reinforces after doing the show last week of why the people with guaranteed lifetime income, and if you don't have a pension, you can do it yourself. You can say, you know what? I would like for this portion of my income to be completely guaranteed. You can do it. There's incredible products out there that you can shift a portion of your assets to, provide you with a great income stream for you and your wife, your husband, whatever, and go off and live a wonderful life and not worry about that the market's down 17% for the year, right? And thankfully, these people's clients were not down that much, but they were, everyone's down. And then the last thing was not make, and then this is the other thing we've been working our butt off for the last couple weeks, and you still have time to do it, by the way, is never let a good loss go to waste. So we started our very top clients and said, okay, let's dig into this. And it's easy on the stock side of the world. And I did a complete podcast on this, on never letting a good loss go to waste. I talk about it in detail, 2025, the final drive. And I was online yesterday, not to jump around too much, and I was trying to see, okay, how does this feed into that as far as the podcast go? Because some people, when I say podcast, I'm referring to my 10 to 15 minute rant that I do every week on Monday nights. When I say radio show, I'm talking about what we're doing right now, even though it ends up in a podcast format. So just so you know where I'm at on terminology, radio show does turn into a podcast, but to me, that's not the podcast. Podcast is the quick and dirty one that we nail out every Monday night. But you can do the stock easy. Sell this, buy that, no problem. But the bond world's much different. Some of these bonds are down a bunch. I mean, they're down. I mean, the bond market as a whole is down over 10%. But if you go and look at some specific bonds or bond funds, I have seen them down as much as 30%. Well, bonds in the sell world are never looked at as an opportunity to lost harvest. But man, have we ever been knocking it dead doing this. So never let a good loss go to waste. You can use it to offset other gains. You can bank them for later. You can use it to offset $3,000 of ordinary income. I love that arbitrage play, right? Long-term capital loss, great. Offsetting actual current regular income. So just all kinds of really, really cool opportunities to take advantage of. All right, so going back to happy people. Who are happy people? People have jobs, right? They may look at that as guaranteed income every week. People make good money too. But what if you lose your job? Well, if you in retirement, you're not going to lose your job. You've already lost your job, either by choice or by not your choice. And the people that maximize Social Security, they are and mathematically replace a portion of their income with some guarantee. That's the ideal retirement plan. And I'm just saying, while you're working, everyone talks about a diversified portfolio of stocks and bonds, the most efficient way to save for retirement. But once you retire, the rules of the game change completely. You need to start thinking about the distribution side and cash flow. It's an entirely different mindset. And that was the joy of this last week of meeting with a couple people who are moving into that phase next year. And that was the purpose of some of the meetings, is like, okay, we have to rethink things. They didn't want to use their money. Right, I had the just-in-case retirement scenario that I gave you last week, right? They didn't want to use it because just in case. And then what happens? You die, and your kids get the money, and they do all the things you didn't do because of that just-in-case retirement. All right, let's take a quick break, come back, and wrap up this pony. It's Your Money with David Hayes. All right, so Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. You get to enjoy family. And as Rod said, the weather may put a little damper on things. We typically have what we call our friend group, which has been together for 100 years probably or more. We enjoy each other's company. We tailgate together. We vacation together. We have raised our kids together. And we were scheduled to get together on Friday night, but the venue that we were going to gather, normally someone's house, but this time it was a venue, called and said, no mo, no, you can't come. We don't have any food trucks coming. So I'm like, all right, so we may rethink that. Then on Christmas Eve, Christmas Eve will be at my dad's house. We'll do the church thing. That'll be a lot of fun. And then Christmas Day at my house. And then next week, I'll be in the studio again next Thursday with my dad, Jerry, as my guest, who has been my guest many, many times on the last show of the year. And we'll come up with kind of a theme, but we may stick with the when do you know you're ready to retire theme to start. And then he's been through a few things this year that might be changing his mindset, possibly. So let's get into that. And it'll be a lot of fun. So the other thing I talked about was the baby boomer dilemma last week. And the boomermovie.com So I went online and pulled it up, and actually for like $300 or $600, I could buy it for a public viewing. Like I could rent out a movie theater and invite you guys to come and sit and watch this thing. It's about 2 hours and 30 minutes long. Or you can buy it for $25 on your iPad and watch it. So I would do that because it is a really compelling movie, and I started it. I've started watching it. It's compelling. So it just goes into a lot of the things I've been talking about. The baby boomer dilemma, whenever 401ks were brought on the scene and pensions were dropped and all that kind of stuff, what they call it, the retirement deception. And I'm not going to be conspiracy or anything, but it's not. It's just like at some point they had to say, we can't take this risk anymore. Yeah, we didn't think you were going to live to 90, right? We didn't think your wife was going to live like my grandma did 30 years after my grandpa passed away as a Bloomington firefighter. They didn't bank on that, right? So they talk about how the elimination of the pensions started happening, and it became your responsibility to save for your retirement. The employer started doing these matches, which were always, you know, nothing contractual. I mean, they can match, they can not match. It's totally up to them. Most of it's totally discretionary in what they do and don't do. So if you want to, if you have some time while the weather's crappy outside and you're just kind of hanging out, go to boomermovie.com. It's about $25. You can watch it. You can own it. You can watch it. Now, you're not allowed to share it. I have watched this stinking video since I thought I might want to do it publicly on what you can do and can't do. And if you do distribute it without proper rules, how you can be in jail for 2 years and all these fines, I doubt that would ever happen. But I would take the safe side and just buy it and watch it for $25 rather than jeopardize all of those pirating rules that are out there. And then, the first week of January, I'm actually going to be on a vacation down in sunny Florida with my wife and some friends, so that'll be a good time. The end of January, going to try to make it out to Scottsdale for the Barrett Jackson auction. A friend of mine, a local friend, he actually is a big deal out there, so I'm going to go out there with him. And then, yeah, I mean, February, going to try to do something fun. In March, I mean, I was telling someone the other day, in my business where I see so many things happen to people just out of the blue, you don't want to work, and then all of a sudden think, you know, vacation. You need to have fun along the way. Glass and I talked about this yesterday, that really doing things is sort of a practice run for retirement. You know, everyone thinks, okay, I'm going to have all this free time when I retire, and I'm going to do all these great things. Well, it's great if you actually have a little bit of a plan to retire and how you're going to make that happen, but how many friends do you have who are retired that say, I don't know how I had time to work? You hear it all the time. But why? Or they retired and they died. So I'm encouraging people, listen, let's be smart about this, and this is another thing you can kind of project out. Let's do some fun things along the way. Let's create experiences along the way. Let's have fun. Let's know what we like to do when we retire so we're not on this trial basis retirement once you finally get there. Do some fun things. Go places. We're going to be in Europe in April for a conference. Very excited about that. I'm going to be in Canada fishing again. We're going to go down to Argentina on a dove and duck hunt sometime in July. These things aren't cheap. But they're fun and they're experiences and you never forget them. And that gives you a mindset that you can move into when it comes to retirement. All right. I know I told you I quit preaching, so I'm going to have to do it because the show has to end at some point. I want everyone out there to have a great Christmas, and I'll talk to you next week with my dad, Jerry, live in studio next Thursday. And then we'll wrap up the year and head into 2023. Merry Christmas, everyone. Goodbye. The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.